You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, Europe celebrated the collapse of soccer's elite Super League project today. As I said, some business analysts were saying that it was a missed opportunity, but I do think in the main, fans voted with their protests and with their feet. It's been a tumultuous 72 hours since the announcement, but we've seen the majority of the 12 founding clubs from England, Spain and Italy pulling out of this Super League. The move was due to have an immediate cash boost for the clubs who've really struggled during the COVID pandemic. Elsewhere, Netflix's miss pulled down US stocks, and locally it was a bit of a roller coaster ride today on the JSE, starting out fairly flat before collapsing around 10 o'clock, trundling along that bottom line until late afternoon, and then roaring back again. And we saw some poor retail traders making around a 12 million rand boo-boo on Karoo. Wayne McCurry, portfolio manager at F&B Wealth and Investments, and Martin Harris, premium client manager at IG Markets, have your market view. Wayne, the sentiment in markets has been a little bit tetchy this week. I've been saying it's almost as if we're saying sell in April and go away instead of sell in May. But investors looking for a reason to get out.
Look, how much more good news do you expect to be baked into share prices? You know, especially overseas, all the good news was already in. So it doesn't surprise me at all if the markets seem a little subdued at the moment. But everything will be critically dependent on what happens to the U.S. long bond rate. And then almost by definition, where is U.S. inflation going? But, I mean, we have had the most astonishing bull market overseas. Not just recently, it's happened for the last 10 years. Now, how much more can you actually expect? As I said, there's so much good news already in share prices.
And it is reflecting in our market in a phenomenal run on the JSE. Yes. And Martin, just to bring you in on that point, the week started with us on the back foot. We didn't have a great day yesterday. In fact, one of our biggest sell-offs in a couple of weeks. But today, we came back a little bit. We ended up just under 0.5% at 67,145 points on the All Share. How are you reading this?
Yeah, Michael, I think, you know, we're seeing the platinum group miners, Sasol, and some of the gold miners having a really strong day. Impala finishing up over 5%. And really, towards the end of the day, our market only dragged down by the likes of Naspers and Prosus, both ending less than, just over a percent down. Naspers 0.7% and Prosus 1.15%. And that sort of drags down the index. But overall, big turnaround relative to where we saw things mid-morning.
And if we look at where things are at the moment, U.S. markets still seem to be digesting that miss from Netflix. Wayne, it's interesting if you look at how we view Netflix now, because it was all about growing those subscriber numbers. And it might look like the subscriber numbers are slowing, but the quality of those earnings seems to be improving. Does it mean Netflix now starts to appeal to a different kind of investor?
I would think so. I mean, you know, just to take a step back on Netflix, I mean, could last year have been better for the Netflix of this world? You know, so whatever happens going forward, it probably won't be as spectacular growth rates as what you have seen, but it is clearly well established. And certainly I've just taken out the Netflix subscription in the last month or two, and it's all I'm watching at the moment because your choice is astonishing. So the only problem they face, and this is very much a longer-term problem, and it's not just Netflix facing this problem, is they're becoming too dominant in their market. I mean, Netflix now produces content and not just the distribution of content. And at some stage, there's going to be legislation essentially against anti-competitive behavior against Netflix and companies like that. And we're seeing that in China now, where you're not allowed to sign this in your distribution. You're not allowed to sign these exclusivity agreements anymore because it's deemed as uncompetitive. And it is essentially the same thing.
That's an interesting observation. What took you so long to come to the Netflix party, Wayne?
I'm a little bit of a laddite when it comes to stuff like this, yes.
Martin Harris, I actually think some people, and admittedly of a different generation who I think did nothing during lockdown but binge-watch Netflix series, might be saying, we're starting to see some stale content on Netflix. I don't know if that's behind why we're seeing the slowing subscriber growth, but it is interesting. If you look at what the numbers are telling you, higher quality earnings, their free cash flow conversion is better, higher margins as it matures. So it does look to be going through that part of the cycle where it starts becoming, heaven forbid, not a utility, but not the kind of high growth startup that it was potentially valued at just a couple of years ago.
Michael, it sounds like you're accusing Netflix of being a mature business here. I think that one of the things for Netflix is that the market conditions during the lockdowns that we saw in South Africa, United States, Western Europe, you name it, were the perfect conditions for them to grow subscribers. Those have now eased, and so everyone who wanted to get Netflix during that time or could afford it or needed it went and got it. And so the forecasts for their new users have really missed. I mean, Netflix believed that they missed it by more than 3 million users. I'm not too sure. Analysts had estimated that they'd grow by 6.3 million, and they only grew in this last quarter by 3.9 million. So they've missed it there by a substantial amount, and it's going to actually be the worst 3-month stretch for Netflix since, I think, 2013. But that's really coming off a very high base, and they've called it Netflix themselves have blamed a COVID pull forward, and that is essentially what we described, that the pandemic really accelerated their growth because everyone is stuck at home and needed something to watch. And now, people are back at work, sort of, and they've got the stale content, like you've mentioned. People have absolutely blasted through their catalog, and Netflix are struggling to produce enough content for all of these new subscribers.
I don't know where people have the time. I can't remember the last time I had enough hours in the day to sit down and watch anything longer than a 20-minute TED Talk. Well, that's my TED Talk. Wayne, the Karoo inward listing, yes. Shame. Some poor retail day traders got really, really badly burned here. I think there were around 30,000 shares traded at the opening between 59 and 65 rand. It should have been at the new US listed price of around 450 and 500 rand. So, I mean, you look at that's a 12 million rand boo-boo. Wonder who the counterparties are here.
Look, I don't know. What I found with things like this, I mean, this was obviously a very complicated thing as to what price they're going to come at. I think you sit back and you let the price settle before you do anything. I mean, ultimately, CarTrack is a phenomenal business, but we both know what the share price has been doing.
And that's, I guess, why if those day traders might want to get some relief from the JSE, the JSE might point to the fact that there has been a steady news flow around Karoo. That said, though, and Martin, to bring you in here, the SENS did only come out around midday, so they might be aggrieved on the timing of the communication here.
Exactly. So I'm not very familiar with what exactly happened, but it was a discussion point today amongst everybody. You've got a seller coming in there at sort of 58 rand a share, and towards the end of the day, the stock closes at 500. Now, do they go back to the JSE and say that it was an accident and that it needs to be reversed? Normally, the JSE are, if you're an institution, you can get some leeway, and the JSE can reverse things if there were genuine mistakes made. If it's just a small-time trader or something like that, I don't know where they're going to get. So we'll wait to see what happens in the news with regards to this whole story.
Yeah, it's, again, caveat emptor, if you are a small-time retail and day trader, the JSE needs to focus on that. They really do. And if they, and I know Leila Faria in her time in Australia, she wants to grow the market in the retail space, because in Australia, she says they like to have a go, but they also have real protection over there. And I think of the way they reined in Renogen recently around announcing a supply deal without giving enough information. And there was a pause in the trading of Renergen until they rectified that because of the Australian exchange, not the local exchange. So I think something for the JSE to have a look at there. Let's just move on to Pick n Pay. And it was Richard Brash's outgoing presentation. And by all accounts, a virtuoso performance, a good set of results to sign off on, given the circumstances. Obviously, a big impact from not being able to sell tobacco and alcohol.
Yes.
But if you look at it, who's gaining? I mean, who's losing market share? Because it looks like all of the big retailers are gaining market share.
Yeah. Now, look, when you look at it, maybe Spar's not doing as well as Pick n Pay and Checkers. But certainly Pick n Pay and maybe even especially Checkers are gaining market share. But I think what Pick n Pay came out with today was very much as anticipated, to be honest. I don't think that there was anything in there that the market didn't already essentially know. But Pick n Pay, you know, I think they're going to be very careful with Checkers 60 Minutes because I think that's gaining huge market share. And Pick n Pay has not got the competing offering yet. So I think they're going to be very careful because whenever I chat to retail analysts and people in the market, Checkers is picking up serious market share with this particular service.
I can't drive around Johannesburg without almost running over one of those delivery bikes. They are everywhere at the moment. Yeah. It is phenomenal just to see how quickly that's grown. If you, Martin, look at these numbers, one might think that with that market share gain, the independents might be losing a bit of market share because they might not have had the balance sheets during lockdown to support them.
Absolutely. I think one of the things here that we're seeing is that as consumers downtrade, Pick n Pay has accelerated its high margin Boxer discount chain rollouts. And those have very quickly gained market share in their sector. I think also if you just look at the numbers coming up from Pick n Pay, their sales of their core groceries, so that excludes the liquor, tobacco and clothing, increased by 10%. And that is above what ShopRite had done. So that indicated that Pick n Pay are gaining market share. And it might then be dropped down to that Boxer, that in particular in the discount retail chain, that's where they're gaining the most. So that's, ShopRite compete there. They've almost gone one below Pick n Pay with their container sort of spaza shops that are, sort of base to sell in informal settlements. But I think that the Boxer discount stores have really increased their share as well as increased their margins. So they've increased their margins by 10 basis points. Their gross margin is now at about 19.8%. And the continuation of this the voluntary severance program and their cost savings project, I think Pick n Pay, their intention really with that is to reduce their selling prices whilst maintaining their margins. And that puts them in a good space because right now their average grocery basket, including the no-name private label product, it's currently at parity with what you're getting from Checkers. But their premium brands are not competitive even with Woolworths. So really, I think for the group, they're looking to cut costs rather than a growth strategy of what we're seeing with the likes of Checkers and the 60-60. So they're going to do a cost-cutting strategy and bring the prices of their goods down and force people to try and shop there instead, and that's how they're looking to gain market share. But definitely on the back foot with regards to the online deliveries, particularly people who are busy or in the corporate space want to order things and have it delivered to them, they're going to have to look at bringing in some new products there.
No, I certainly don't think the barriers to entry are any kind of concern for that, but attention no doubt is required. Martin Harris, Premium Client Manager at IG Markets, and Wayne McCurry, Portfolio Manager at FNB Wealth and Investments, with your market view.